Welcome, ladies and gentlemen, to Never Tell Me the Odds, the Star Wars RPG podcast. I'll be your host tonight, David Krennan, and we actually have a new player joining us, Mr. Tom Fonz. You might know him from Crit Juice, where he plays the Dragonborn Gub. If not, buckle your seatbelts, because he's a great player. And that's about it, so let's get right into it. Here we go! So, Tom, what is your experience with
Star Wars? I love Star Wars, but I'm not going to pretend like I have an encyclopedic knowledge of it. I love it from a standpoint of a cinephile's perspective. I love movies, and those are my favorite movies. But I'm definitely not like, I know what that alien is and their planet and everything, but I love that energy.
You'll pop them on the TV.
I love being in that, yeah.
When you have a cold, but you're not going to dress up as a stormtrooper.
Kind of specifically as a cold, too, especially Empire. I don't know if it's like, oh, shit's going down in my immune system. I want to watch shit go down on the screen.
Yeah.
Specifically as a cold, I will watch that.
They're
just great films that I love.
Well, cheers.
Cheers.
Cheers. I do want to get us started while we're waiting for Gary. So a couple things that are going to be new this time around. When I want to work in some sort of movie star, some sort of actor into my thing, I have a list that I can roll on randomly, and we'll know who it is, who comes in, or her. Very few females in it, but...
Fingers crossed on Tom Arnold.
So the other rule, which is going to be a little different. So XP in this game, experience points, pretty low, right? Like, you need like 5 kind of experience points to gain a new skill or whatever, right? GM intrusion. So whenever, as a GM, I want to pull some sort of little coincidence that makes all of your lives way more difficult. I do that, but there's a cost for me to do that, and that is I have to give you 4 experience points. So if I say the guy hits a button and a trap door opens, and I go, Tom, your character was standing over that trap door, you get 4 experience points. You only get to keep 2 of those. The other 2 you have to give to someone else in the group.
Great.
And for whatever reason, you have to justify it. You say, you made a funny joke, or that person saved my life last scene, or whatever. But so I'll be handing out XP like that. Well, that's the other thing. So the story that I'm going to tell, Gary.
Hello.
Look what the kitten dragged in.
Oh, man, dude, you saved the cat.
I've just been crying for the whole ride here.
Did you get it into a shelter?
Yeah, and they're going to tell me in the morning if it's going to be put down.
Oh, no.
Like if it's too young. If it's so young, they have to put it down. So I'm gonna call him. Like, Kara's emailing a bunch of people right now, and
to keep the, see if someone wants to adopt it.
Yeah, or even foster it. And so, she thinks it might be old enough. It's hard to tell because it's so malnourished, but it seems healthy. It's really active. It's climbing. It jumped from my hat to the dashboard. Like, it was all over me on the ride.
This is a crazy story.
Yeah.
So you saw the cat while driving down the highway?
So I was getting on the 5.
Yeah.
The ramp onto the 5, and there was a black sweatshirt on the side of the road, and the cat was curled up in it, and I could just see white as I was going by. I'm like, is that a cat? And so I pulled over real quick, and it's...
You pulled over on the highway?
Yeah. And it ran
into the
highway.
And then you walked over it? Oh, my God.
It was really scary.
Jeez.
That's amazing. I can't believe that, one, you spotted a kitten from a moving car in a sweatshirt.
Aww.
Oh, you got photos.
Yeah, I took one photo. It's the cutest.
Adorable.
Well, I think we can agree that that's a very legitimate reason to be late. Being a superb human being.
Yeah.
It's like trying to save a life on this planet.
So anyway, so I'm a little fired up, which is great for my character. And I'm sorry I'm late.
That's okay.
Oh,
no problem.
It's great.
Gary, we can agree that you're an amazing human being. Thank you for doing that.
I appreciate that.
Okay, so we can get going here.
Woo!
Okay, everybody.
Woo! Yeah.
Welcome. This is the podcast you're looking for. welcome to session 2. Ready to go. All right, so who's playing what? Why don't we start with the people we know about?
Hi, I'm Lorik. I'm a Wookiee. I have feelings. I'm the yes man. I'm just, you know, it's a living, one of those Flintstone mechanical devices.
That's your catchphrase right now, it seems to be. It's a living. And who's playing Lorik?
Jeanette. Hi, I'm Jeanette. I'm cool, but rude. You like me. Let's hang out.
What class are you?
Oh, and I'm a hired gun.
Wookiee hired gun Lorik. Great. And sitting next to Jeanette, we have...
Hi, I'm Andrew. I'm playing Gibby Bindu. He is a Mon Calamari Politico.
Anything else that we should know about Gippy?
Gippy is portly in the extreme. He is pushing 90 in human years, whatever that comes out to in Mon Calamari years. So he's extremely elderly.
As we said before, on his way out.
Yeah.
not a lot of Gippy left.
Yeah, his eyes are dulled by cataracts. Lots of wheezing. Too many whiskers and growths. Yeah, easily 400 pounds, wearing a terry cloth muumuu.
With that image in your head, okay. So moving on, we've got
MJ.
Two new characters, but only one new player. So yeah, if you want to introduce your
right. So I'm MJ, the human assassin.
MJ.
Yep, he's a bounty hunter. He looks like Ron Perlman.
Whoa.
Yeah. He's just like a
chiseled. Manly.
Not so much chilled, whatever that is. It's a race you guys haven't heard about. Drunk, two sips in. He's just solid. You know, he's just thick. But like imposing thick, not like
Gippy thick.
He's got some caveman in him. You know, he's got that big jaw.
Yeah. Scarred Ron up. Perlman definitely has some caveman in him.
Yeah.
And who's playing?
Gary Soldati, who has much of the same characteristics.
It's not funny if it's true. I mean,
all right.
I have some caveman.
Thank you. All right, and finally, new player and new character.
New player. I'm so excited. I'm Tom Fons, and I'm playing a droid who's an outlaw tech mechanic. He is decryption, aeronautical android mechanic, and navigator. But you can call him Damn, as in, damn, girl, look at that guy's butt.
All right, Damn the droid.
Yeah.
What does your droid look like? Is he a R2-D2 droid or a bipedal
No,
droid?
He's sort of a lanky dude. Yeah, he's very lanky and, like, wires popping out. He was manufactured on, like, a secret moon on the out of the galaxy by a Rodian smuggler.
Ooh.
So he's very much in the smuggling... underworld feel.
Great.
Yeah.
Okay, and the important droid question. Golden chassis, silver?
It's black and silver, but mostly black.
I like it. Yeah. Okay.
Well, how does he feel about organics? Has he got
he's a little... He can be sarcastic. He'll have a few sarcastic moments, but he's not, like, secretly... Well, maybe he is. I'm not going to let anything...
As far
as you can tell, yeah.
I was hoping for, like, a data thing where he just wants to be more Rodian. He's, like, attaching things to his face and, like, painting himself green.
What if Data wanted to...
He walk in on him and he's like, don't look at me! Like,
if only I could just have one long snout. That would be so great.
Okay, guys. And I'm, of course, your DM again. David Krennan.
Woo!
Hi, David.
America's DM. We also, so you guys of course know Gary and Tom from Crit Juice. Obviously, you're probably huge fans of that. Andrew and Jeanette, you should be fans of. And we're broadcasting live, recorded from Clockwork Couture in Burbank, California.
Yeah. Boom.
It's a steampunk clothier. Would that be how you would say it? If you ever need a Victorian bustle or a killer top hat with gears on it, check it out. It's a great store.
They got cool stuff.
They got great stuff.
Give them your money.
ClockworkCouture.com.
Yep. Yeah, that's right. ClockworkCouture.com. That's CLOCKWORKCOUTURE.com.
Spell that for me one more time.
Yeah. CLOCKWORKCOUTURE.com.
Wow.
Clockwork Couture.
He did it.
So allow me to please part the veils of reality. We are not sitting in Clockwork Couture, even though we are. You guys are... on the fringes of the Galactic Empire, the screen goes black. Those big yellow letters show up saying the name of our podcast. Okay. That's right. The opening crawl begins. It is a period of civil war. In the core worlds, the rebellion strives to undo the strangle grip of the evil Galactic Empire. However, on the edges of the Empire, smugglers, bounty hunters, and outcasts find life much the same as ever. An age of bounty and danger, ruled by luck and skill. Escaping near destruction on the moon of Alderaan, a crew of adventurers race to the lawless reaches, bearing with them a strange and sinister artifact. And we'll cut back in. The opening scroll fades away, and we open up on a cavernous space. A massive stone wall, perhaps sandstone, stretches up as far as we can see, and there's a huge black, yawning, slightly almost trapezoidal portal cut right into the stone, leading deep into the darkness. We pull out, pulling back. We see a stone bridge about 8 feet across over a huge chasm, pulling back to a pair of feet, Lorik's feet, and we see the Soul Wookiee standing there, staring across this bridge at this black hole in this whatever ancient stone wall is in front of you. A small sound makes you turn to your left, and you see a man, an old wizened man, wearing gray cloaks, gray as dust, holding a very simple wooden staff, apparently standing right next to you, even though he wasn't there a moment ago.
Well, what do you do?
That's weird. I'm freaked out.
Suddenly you...
Is that your answer?
without taking... You stand there, unable to make a decision, and then your eyes snap awake and you wake back up, and just another strange hyperspace dream. You guys pop out of hyperspace in orbit around the planet of Ord Mantell. A shiny green jewel, in fact, in the bright jewel sector, covered with, you know, large brownish continents, but gorgeous from a distance. When, in fact, on the surface of the planet is, of course, a hive of scum and villainy. The current occupants of the ship are Gippy Bindu, Lorik the Wookiee,
hey,
and, of course, Derek the Droid. Among the three of you, who would have a connection, who would be a good fence on Ord Mantell?
I know a guy.
Yeah? What's his name?
Jonathan.
Mm-hmm. Jonathan.
Doopy.
Okay. Yeah, Jonathan Doopy, who you know on Ord Mantell.
Sounds like a best friend you had in, like, first grade.
Jonathan Doopy.
Remember when we used to, like, set off fireworks with good old Johnny Doopy?
Yeah, he lost a pinky one time.
Yeah. Who was with that guy?
I don't know.
I hear he still lives at home.
This is how it looks to you guys as you come into orbit above it.
It's okay. Beautiful.
Yeah, it looks like Earth.
Yeah, it does.
And that's where my friend Jonathan is.
Jonathan Doopy is a fence of some repute on the planet. More of a collector of oddities and antiques from across the galaxy. Someone that you might be able to pawn off this one little artifact. The sole bounty you guys were able to bring off of this moon of Alderaan flowed.
Gippy's motivation would be to identify the artifact and then keep it out of the hands of the Empire, but also potentially sell it and take the proceeds to aid the rebellion, because the rebellion's cause is his cause, blah, blah, blah. But you don't have to listen to him because he'll probably doze off midway through explaining that to you. So,
Lorik, you sleepily emerge from your quarters. Gippy, you're already up. Derek is piloting the ship in through Ord Mantell's atmosphere towards the outskirts of the large city of Sevroa. You guys touch down. It's a little bit tricky for a second because this is, of course, a stolen Imperial craft, a fire spray, the Boba Fett ship.
Yes.
Which you guys totally stole. There's tense for a second as you guys are interacting with the comm operator or whatever, but they're like, codes check out. And you guys...
You guys don't embarrass me in front of my friend. He's legit.
Yeah, you guys are walking up the street. Yeah, so you're approaching this guy's place. It's in a more rundown quarter. Ord Mantell's, of course, known for its... more or less as a smuggler's paradise. Certainly massive casinos dot the planet. But this is the outskirts of one of the second largest cities. A lot of shipyards, a lot of junkers places, crisscrossing streets, tall kind of technologically decrepit buildings, four stories, five stories tall. I think Los Angeles in the year 2050.
Ew.
Yeah. But narrower streets, some grime, and more or less perpetually overcast on the outskirts. So you guys are approaching, so it's Derek and Gippy and Lorik approaching the business, which as you get there, it's like a two-story, maybe two-and-a-half-story tall, almost like a warehouse that's been converted into an antique shop. And as you come through the, it's like a heavy steel front door with a little tiny like view window in it. It looks like it's going to be a disreputable warehouse. You open up inside, filled top to bottom with wonders of the galaxy. There's old suits of battered armor from the Clone War with like gunshot holes in it and weird alien crap piled up in all the corners, spilling off of the shelves. Occupying a huge center place in the shop is like a ancient hyperdrive engine that's, you know, like, you know, 15 feet across, 15 feet tall, hanging by a couple chains, partially dismantled. Stuffed weird alien heads with, you know, some of the stuffing coming out. And in the back... Hello? Somebody there?
Doobie. Hey! It's been a while. It's me, Lowrick. We phoned earlier.
Yeah, as you guys come in... yeah, for sure, you would have gotten in touch with him on the comm. As you guys come in, there's, like, one other customer who's, you know, comes out and gives you guys, like, a real, like, kind of almost a double-take look, like a...
Can I help you? Take a hollow reader to last longer.
coming out of the back is, of course, Old Dupe, a kind of a strange alien race, kind of like a human-looking but, like, squatter, wider, really heavy, creased, wrinkled folds, kind of all hanging down across, like, his head and kind of these big jowly jowls, mostly hairless.
You look great, man.
It's like... This place your penis.
played by, let's see who's playing this character. So I'm going to roll my D30. I have 20 names down, and any other 10, the other 10 that come up are all Samuel L. Jackson.
Okay.
He's in everything. 25. So it's your one. Played by Samuel L. Jackson. Yeah, so clearly Samuel L. Jackson in heavy, heavy makeup. What? Sorry, I have to do my best Samuel L. Jackson. Can anyone do a good Samuel L. Jackson?
God damn! I hate this hack of crap. I don't know.
Motherfucking Sith artifacts on this motherfucking junk shop.
Motherfucking Lowrick. I didn't think I would see you again. By the Force. What are you doing here?
These people I'm with and I, we got a thing. Catch some credits.
What do you got there? Let me see this.
I'm not your first tactic of negotiation, my old boy. It's that you don't divulge the full nature of whatever it is you're trying to bargain with. So, sir, I hear you are a dealer of ill repute. That's exactly the kind of repute we are looking for. We have...
Ill repute? My shop is one of the finest shops of antiquities in this whole motherfucking town.
We have come into possession of an artifact of sorts that may be important to certain mystic orders of the past.
All right, let me see it. He moves back around his little... He's been foreshortened with, like, CGI effects or whatever, so he looks like he's only about 4 feet tall. Samuel L. Jackson with, shall we say, greenish-colored skin? Sure. Like that, and heavy folds. Comes back behind his counter. All right! He takes out, like, a little complex device that he starts unfolding. Let me see. What do you got there?
Can I sense this guy's motive or anything like that?
Well, assume that he's a good friend, or not a good friend.
I trust Lowrick, and therefore I know that.
It's Lowrick's, like, you know...
He's got buddy points.
A fence that you've worked with before.
Lowrick, I know this is a good friend of yours, and I trust you will not hesitate to rip his arms out should he try to shirk us.
All right, so I'll put the artifact down.
Cue spooky like. John Williams music. Yeah, you take out the artifact. So once again, it's about 5-6 inches long.
penis.
Couple inches thick. Black. All these things
You're
true.
You're sweating, David.
Inscribed with very dark runes. Dark, I mean, just hard to visibly see. Like, carved deep and narrowly all around the entire circumference of it, circling up. You... kind of are slow to hand it to him, and it feels like it has this, you still feel, you know, like, oh, I kind of don't really want to let go of this. Hand it over to him. Let's see what you got here. He puts out like his own thing, and little screens go, and little holographic things pop up.
What in the name of the... Oh, this is old. At least as old as the Old Republic.
You know, I'm not even 100% sure I know what this is even made out of. Where'd you find this? No, wait. Don't tell me, but I want to know. I'll offer you 40,000 credits.
Well, that's a very generous offer. Double it, and I might consider.
We'll make a negotiation check.
Good luck.
Oppose that by two red and two purple.
Two red and two purple?
Yeah.
Wow.
Okay. This is his job. He's a skilled trader.
My negotiation is three green and one yellow.
Okay.
Can I? Do we have any light side points?
Yes, we do. We better roll that up, actually. Go ahead and roll light side points. Do you want to start us off?
No, it's two dark side.
Two dark side points. Kippy, roll it up.
Yay!
One light side point. MJ, you're not there yet, but roll it. Another light side point. Tom Fons.
The Force knows we're connected.
Dark side point.
And the DM, I have a good feeling about this dark side.
Don't do it.
Okay, great. Yes, you want to spend one of your two light side points?
Yes.
Okay, boop.
I would imagine an extra 40,000 credits is probably worth it.
Yeah, it is a failure.
It's a wash with two advantage.
So a failure with two advantage.
Boy, I go 39,000. You trying to... I'm sorry, boy. I don't think he would say that.
He has a lot of range. You need to see more Samuel L. Jackson movies.
Okay, so it's a failure with two advantage. How do you think your two advantage play out in this?
My two advantage is that he
doesn't...
wants to buy it, that he's not completely insulted, I would imagine, by the offer, because it was a kind of an outrageous price gouge.
I think we're going to stick with 40,000.
What?
Maybe
100. Oh, yes, 40,000 credits. Excellent.
And I just want to get rid of the artifact.
I think she's right. You guys just get a hyperspace or something? You haven't seen these holovids yet? Here, one is... comically shuffles around and flips on a holo net projector, whoop, whoop, and a little hologram appears of the Galactic News Network going, wanted alive with a bounty of 15,000 credits per head, and it's little pictures of Lorik the Wookiee.
That's
and then,
me.
Whoop, the once famed ambassador Gippy Bindu.
It's a really big. It's like just your cheek or something.
I can't see my picture. How do I look?
And then it shows the droid Derek, and then it shows Logan deceased. There's like an X through him, like. Now, if I were you, I would take this money and I would get to the edges, and I mean the edges of the Empire.
Sure, I'm tired of fighting in all these Star Wars.
Now, 40,000, that's more than enough to get you out of here.
Also, let me know if you're assassinated by Imperial types with glowing sticks. We ran into one of those before, and it was quite nasty, although he was extremely charming and a great dancer.
Don't worry about old Dupe. Doopy knows how to stay ahead of the pack.
Yeah, Doopy can take care of himself.
Don't doubt the Duke. Pound it, brother.
Oh, yeah. You see at this point that he doesn't have arms, just flippers. He tries to give you the flipper.
Oh, that's adorable.
Pound gives me flipper dap. Okay,
yeah, like
awesome.
A flipper.
Like
with
a chicken wing without any feathers on it.
Of course, if you've got an Imperial shuttle, it may be worth your while to get those serial numbers filed off, if you know what I mean. So basically, Artifact exchanges hands. He gives you the name of somebody who can, like, regenerate your serial number for your ship or whatever. It's terribly expensive.
40,000 credits expensive?
At least half that.
Okay.
Okay, so you've got enough credits to kind of get your ship falsely put under your name, but you quickly discover that your faces are broadcast across the galaxy,
right.
Basically. Any personal holdings you guys have been frozen. Derek, at this point, goes, whatever. I'm peacing out, yo. Good luck. I'm taking my share and just gonna get a really hot swoop and just fly around this galaxy. And he pieces out. The droid goes away. So we're gonna do a quick time jump forward. The Death Star's been destroyed. The Rebellion thought that was gonna do it. Hasn't really happened. You guys have to persist somewhere on the extreme edges of the galaxy. What would you guys do? Would you go your separate ways? Would you hang together?
Still alive?
Gippy, go ahead and give me a resilience check.
Well, if I fail this, I have to roll a new character. Okay.
Resilience. Two purple. What do you got there? One green?
Two, surprisingly. And I pass with just a tad of threat.
Your heart stops for a minute, and you go, oh, no, I think this is it. And then it starts again. You go,
Oh, thank goodness I can continue bedding these beautiful women.
Oh, man.
So the question is, during that time, you meet up with MJ and with this droid over here.
Hi, MJ and droid.
basically end up teaming up with you guys as part of your crew.
I feel like we could, you know, do an adventure together.
That sounds good to me.
Great.
Are you sure you want him on your team?
You guys kind of hit it off. So we pick up a year later, just as you guys are finishing a major...
Well, that was the 99th job. You guys, I can't wait to get number 100.
Let's see how well it went. What was your job at the that smuggling run, Wookiee?
Gunnery.
Gunnery. Okay, go ahead and make a gunnery roll against two purple. Gippy, what have you been doing on this
side? I would, like, negotiate the final price for the... batch of deadly eels we delivered to the Imperial Orphanage.
What's that again? So you would have figured out what?
I said I would have figured out, I would have tried to negotiate as high a profit margin as possible for us for our delivery of the deadly eels to the Imperial Orphanage.
Are these land eels? Water eels?
Space eels? Water-based eels. I mean, land eels. That's ridiculous.
Okay. So go ahead and make a negotiation roll. Again, two purple. MJ, what would have you been doing during a smuggling run? Apparently involved outgunning some ships and delivering eels to an Imperial orphanage. Deadly eels?
Deadly eels.
So I would have used my streetwise to get the cargo from the ship to the orphanage without
being killed,
attracting
by
attention.
Yeah, a couple spillage. Imperial troopers are in the streets going, wait a minute, why are those boxes squirming so much?
Right.
Okay, and roll your streetwise check. Again, two purple. Okay, one success. And Tom,
makes more exciting.
What would Dan have been? What would your role?
Dan has been piloting any ship that has four.
But that's
smuggling.
Useful.
Yes.
Hey.
Wow.
So
damn.
We might not be doing the best jobs, but we're flying in style.
Great. But that's triumph, right? That means something awesome.
On his first roll, the very first roll that you've ever rolled at the game, he rolls a triumph. Good job, Tom Fonz. Okay, right. So let's go around the table and let's get everybody.
One might say damn.
One might say damn, girl.
Okay, Lurik, what do you roll on yours?
One success, so I shot a thing.
You managed to, for your whole crew, you managed to get 100 credits. Gippy, success or failure?
I failed with one advantage.
Okay, so minus 50 credits.
Okay.
But
no one was harmed in the eel delivery.
Just disappointed.
Well, that's probably
the eels were dead, so you managed to outgun the ships. The eels were dead, and the orphans went, oh, good food! We've been so hungry! And they all were able to eat the eels, and the orphanage owner went, thank you. Gary, what was MJ's role?
getting the product from the ship.
Well, how many successes and failures?
One.
One success?
One success.
Okay, one success. That's another 100 credits, putting you to a total of 150. And
I've been piloting with two successes, an advantage, and a triumph. Is that correct?
It's a threat and a triumph. Okay, so two successes. And your triumph counts as a success as well. Okay. So 300 additional credits, bringing you guys up to 450 credits. So you guys each made 400, or made 100 and something credits each from this run. The threat is that we cut in on you guys successfully negotiating. Yes, this is the food you wanted to order. MJ has no trouble clearing the pathway for that to be delivered right into the kitchen. You guys get in, people eat it, the Imperials catch on, you guys blast off, gunnery, shooting down some TIEs. You're piloting, though, just corkscrews right out of the solar system, no trouble whatsoever. So one threat, you cheese off somebody, like, as you fly out of there, and hopefully they'll come and show up again.
Cheese off!
Yeah, you cheesed off somebody. Your triumph.
Yeah. Oh, I'm shaking in my boots.
And your triumph is one awesome piece of cool outlaw tech or equipment or something like that that you get. We'll say
sunglasses. They're just cool looking.
They do nothing. They just look cool.
They look great, and maybe like
soldered to the sides of your head.
There's like an LED on either side of it, and it'll flicker with your emotions, maybe.
Great.
You managed to get a couple concussion grenades.
Or those. Or something you
fair
sold.
Enough.
When they come with sunglasses, I assume.
Yeah. You open up a box of concussion grenades. It's two concussion grenades, and on top of that, a sweet Oakleys that are soldered onto the side of your heads.
Or it's like, if you're not going to use
sunglasses.
Those.
Yeah.
Is it the sunglasses? I'm down for that.
Well, the sunglasses only come down when you use the grenades. So you throw the concussion grenades, and they explode, and you're just like, look like I, you know, stunned them.
Yeah, it's auto sunglasses. So Yeah, they just come down whenever you need, whenever you say something cool, and they can come
it
down.
Looks like you're
fantastic. Yeah,
that's
deal with it.
Also, two concussion grenades, so those will just blow the hell out of somebody. You can make a note of that.
Mm-hmm. And two things you can.
I love them
use.
To come halfway down. Like if you say something halfway cool, it's like, it doesn't know if it's coming.
Processing.
Down or not.
Yeah.
It's like, come on, dude.
Waiting for
more.
The punchline. Nothing. All right. So you guys are flying off of that successful mission, congratulating each other for a few hundred successful credits. Not a lot.
The death of an orphanage.
Yeah. Never mind.
Hey, they're
right.
Future stormtroopers. Blow for the rebellion.
Potentially future for stormtroopers.
This is the edge of the empire. This isn't your clean, sanitized core world warfare, okay?
Like, they're killing the younglings.
Bad.
The asshole ones, though, I guess.
Yeah.
Younglings.
Can't make an omelet without murdering a few younglings.
You can edit it in later. I'll just say, and then we freed the orphans. Okay,
yeah,
so
okay, I'll edit
that
in. Yeah, thank you. So you guys are celebrating. So 450 credits is enough to get you guys enough fuel for your ship and enough food to the next job.
Or Lorik goes out and buys matching sunglasses for the whole crew so we can be a team.
Okay, so that actually happens.
So, you guys.
We're floating in space.
Are there giant novelty ones?
I don't know. Lorik, did you buy giant novelty sunglasses?
No, they're cool sunglasses and it's like you're in the Star Wars version of The Matrix.
I love it. So yeah, you're looking at the dam, you're looking at the fuel gauge, and you can see you're like on a quarter tank. You're like, great, this will be enough to fill us up when Laura comes in with
you guys,
boxes of
there
sunglasses.
There was a sale!
I'll tell you what they do. They definitely give you guys a boost die on your cool checks.
Nice. But you have to be
that's
wearing
an actual
them.
Skill. Nevertheless, you guys are reaching the bottom of your fuel tank, and all that you've got left in the food locker is bell peppers.
I was going to say, whatever residue was left from the eel tank.
And the eel tank residue, yeah. Eel tank, frozen eel tank droppings and bell peppers.
So basically dessert for a month.
Yeah. At that point, there's a doo-doo-doo-doo-doo, which is, of course, the sound of someone hailing you on your interplanetary comm frequency.
Hello?
Motherfuckers! God damn, it's Dupe! It's Dupe!
Doopy!
Who's that? Where are you at?
It's me, Lorik.
Why can't I see you? Get on this hollow
vid. I'm back here. I'm back here away from the phone.
Show me. Get up here. This is not a joking matter. What? Look, I'm not kidding. They're going to get me any minute now. I'm serious. I figured it out.
What did you figure out?
Who is this guy? I'm not going to talk to this guy.
I'm Dam.
Dam is good. He's a good guy. What's up?
Dam. You trust him?
Yes.
That thing you gave me. You remember that thing?
Vaguely.
God damn it. I figured it out.
Yes, you sound kind of weird. Are you okay?
You can see actually on the hull of it, he does not look all that okay. It's been a year, but it looks like he's aged 10. The numerous folds and wrinkles, like there's just a lot less plumpness to him. He looks drawn. There's a kind of hollowness around his eyes and his cheeks. You can see even though
oh, Doobie, you've lost weight.
Look, I don't have time to exchange goddamn pleasantries, lady. Wait, mister?
I am a gentleman Wookiee.
Gentleman Wookiee? I can never tell the genders of a Wookiee.
I'm not offended by this statement. You and I are old friends.
Wait, this conversation sounds like...
We've known each other for years.
And this conversation sounds like... Look, I don't want to tell you too much. I think they're listening. I think you... Come, as quickly as you can, get back to Ord Mantell. It's essential that you come and bring that fat ass with you. What's his name?
Gimbri!
He looks around, like, nervously. I gotta go. Quickly as you can. Thank you for listening, everybody. Tune in again next week for the next episode. Until then, may the Force be with you.